Welcome to the Cool Things Entrepreneurs Do podcast with your host, Tom Singer. In each episode, we explore the interesting lives of business leaders, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and others who have a healthy dose of the entrepreneurial spirit. It is time to explore something cool. Now, here is your host, Tom Singer.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Cool Things Entrepreneurs Do. Thank you so much for pulling your chair up to the cool kids table. I started this podcast 4 years ago with one intent, and that was to bring really interesting interviews and useful information to everyone who listens. We are now at episode 396. That means we are just about a week and a half away from that magical episode number 400, and we just hit the four-year mark. I have been releasing this show almost every Tuesday and Thursday now for 4 years, and I think it just keeps getting better. The guests I bring on get more exciting. We have really cool sponsors now, and the audience is telling me, boy, I really like your show. So if this is the first time you have ever tuned in, fasten your seatbelt because you are in store for some really good information. So let's start off by thanking the first sponsor of this episode. So many of you may actually offer physical products to your fans and your customers. And dealing with the physical stuff, that can be a total pain, and it steals your precious time. My friends over at Amplifier blend order fulfillment, screen printing, and on-demand production into a single self-service platform that you control. And I know all about this because I've started to print those Try New Things t-shirts, and I am working with Amplifier, and they are awesome. They can integrate with your e-commerce shop and help drive any giveaway campaigns that you have. They are great for large internet powerhouse companies as well as entrepreneurs who are just starting out. On demand means no inventory risk, but as you grow, you can stock up on inventory and Amplifier will handle it all for you. Go over to amplifier.com/coolthings and sign up today. So speaking of today, we have a great interview with Michael Woodward. He is the founder and CEO of JumbleThink. And I'm not going to tell you what JumbleThink is. I don't like to read these long bios. I like to just invite the people on the show, like two people having a beer, sitting around talking. So Michael, welcome to Cool Things Entrepreneurs Do.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, I am super excited to have you here. So first of all, would you do me a favor? Tell me, who is Michael Woodward and what is JumbleThink?
Yeah, so I'm a guy who happened to accidentally become an entrepreneur. And in that journey, I ended up in the web development and design space, worked on over 400 websites from small business mom and pop to Fortune 100 companies, helping them take those ideas and concepts and make them reality. I'm a podcast host, which is where I'm most passionate about. And I host the JumbleThink podcast. We interview entrepreneurs about how they turned an idea and dream into reality. That's what I do.
That's awesome. So what led you into being an entrepreneur? Were you always an entrepreneur? You said you accidentally fell into it. Did you have like a regular job? What was the early days of Michael all about?
I was walking down the street, big hole, fell in. No, I have been entrepreneurial and idea focused for several years. And what happened was I was working at a church. I love working at that church. It was in Northern California doing a lot of work with at-risk people coming out of addiction, coming out of broken homes, and helping them through that process. Economy turns in 2008. I don't have a job because they can't afford to pay me. So what do I have to do? I have to go find something to pay the bills. And a friend of mine said, hey, come work for me. And I went to work for his marketing company. They did design and development and traditional marketing. And then they turned into a web shop. He wanted to go focus on his golden years of retirement in the philanthropic world. I said, hey, I'll buy half of the company. Another friend of mine said, I'll buy the other half. We did that. That guy got a job at Apple managing version control for all their software. I bought out that half. And so I ended up being an entrepreneur, not because that's what I set out to do, but because life kind of steered me that way.
So how long ago was that you bought into this company?
2008, 2009 is the transition.
So you're coming up on a decade here of doing that. What is it now that you love about the life of being an entrepreneur versus the life of having a job?
Well, what I love most is having the freedom to create the lifestyle I want for my family. So for us, we want to be able to travel. Entrepreneurship gives me the freedom to travel and work remotely wherever I want to work. We have two young kids. It gives me the ability to say, hey, you know what? They got something cool going on. I'm going to go do that instead of spend the next 2 hours in the office. It might mean I might have to work at 9 o'clock that night or 10 o'clock, but it does give me that ability to say, I want to do life on my terms. So I love that about entrepreneurship. It also allows me to say, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to do what I feel like meets my value system in a way that communicates the way I like to communicate and serve people in the way that I love to serve them.
So how old are your kids?
Well, I have a 5-year-old daughter named Lucy and a 19-month now daughter named Lily, and they're awesome.
Wow. So you've got your hands full. The kids are little.
They have more energy than I do. I think if we could get kids doing entrepreneurship, I could retire right now, let them run the business. Life would be great.
Well, they could sell finger paints. So, you know,
yeah.
The new thing. So you absolutely love having that freedom and stuff like that. Is there anything about it you hate? Do you ever wish, God, I wish I still worked at the church?
I think sometimes entrepreneurship's up and downs. You're going to have to face problems you didn't expect or want to deal with. Clients sometimes that you don't want to have to deal with. And so for entrepreneurship, sometimes you have to put up with the garbage that isn't fun, chasing down somebody that owes you money or chasing down. Right now, I have a client that I've been waiting 2 months to get their content so I can finish their project. So chasing them down and going, oh, I love you as a client, but I hate you as a client right now. So
do you have employees who work for you? Do you have to deal with that?
Well, I have. So when we were in Northern California, we had a team of around 16 people, 12 full-time, a couple part-timers, and we work with a lot of contractors. We moved back to the East Coast, be closer to family. We downsized. It's just my wife and I and some contractors. And we're in the process of now revamping how we do what we do and rebuilding our team too.
So back when you had employees, I hear from a lot of entrepreneurs that, you know, while it's wonderful if you get the right people, it can also be a pain. What's the hardest part about dealing with employees or in your case now, even just managing contractors?
Well, I would think payroll would be compliance with the government is always the hardest thing you have to deal with when it comes to employees. You can think you're doing everything right. You can even have great people working for you from the standpoint of managing that. But, oh, is it a headache to deal with that sometimes?
So if someone's listening to this show and they're thinking, God, I want to just go start my own thing. Maybe they want to have some sort of a consulting firm where they're doing marketing work or whatever it is that interests them. What advice do you have for them about going out on their own? Because you kind of had to do it because there was a great recession. So for people who don't have a recession pushing them out, what advice do you have?
Don't do it alone. I mean, you can be a solopreneur and not do entrepreneurship on your own. So what can that look like? You can work with great coaches or mentors. You can be a part of a accountability group for business, whether that be a mastermind or just a peer group. That could be being a part of a networking group. That for us, when we first set out to build our business, that was our bread and butter, was just being in that network of other business owners and being able to network with them. Yeah, they tossed us business. We tossed them business, but we're also a network of support for each other. So just because you're starting something and just because you feel like you have to do it on your own, I call that the death march of entrepreneurship. Never do it alone. Just think differently.
Yeah. So I'm a solopreneur, but I'm never alone, right? I've got, right. First of all, I have some contractors like, you know, a bookkeeper and an accountant, because that's a nightmare. But in addition to that, you know, I've been really well networked and all that, but I've surrounded myself with other speakers. I have a mastermind group. There's four of us. We've been together for 5 years. Almost twice a year, we rent a house somewhere in the country, we move into it, and we dissect each other's businesses. But we've become so close that we actually, I mean, we say we're as close as siblings now after 5 years, and we really are. I mean, we give each other a hard time. You know, we're calling each other when one person's doing well or, you know, needs a little bit of support. Hey, give her a call today. She needs your help. So we're kind of watching out for each other. But in the same time, it's like my own personal board of directors. As I look to grow my company, as I look to make things happen, that particular group of people, you know, they're my board. And so I'm never alone because they're always like, oh, good call or no. And sometimes they're wrong. They actually, it's a big joke between us. They told me not to start this podcast. They thought it would be a distraction. They didn't see how it would, you know, help me at all. And of course, I get business from the podcast because a lot of listeners who work for companies, they're having a sales meeting. They'll talk to their sales manager and say, hey, you know, this guy's a leadership growth speaker. We should, you know, put him on the short list and see if he could be the speaker for our conference. And every year I pick up a couple of events from it. So now when we talk about my podcast, they always look at each other and laugh and go, yeah, bad idea. I don't think you should do that.
So true. And for me, I think that the hardest seasons of entrepreneurship when I have been locked in a room by myself for months and months and months on end, and not really having that contact. You've got to have a community around you, whether that's employees, whether that's team members, whether that's those other business owners like mastermind groups. It's just such a powerful tool. It also gives you a perspective from the outside where you might be seeing blind spots for yourself. And where you might be going down a road that looks great, but others who have either been there or know people that have, they can give that outside perspective and say, hey, you're not seeing the full picture.
Well, but as I said, sometimes you don't want to listen to everything that they say, because
right.
we would not be having this interview right now if I had listened to them. But what happened because of that, when I decided to do it anyway, it meant I had to do it right. And early on, when New and Noteworthy was a big deal 4 years ago, you know, this show topped New and Noteworthy for several weeks. It was on the top of the list for a long time, and it got a lot of attention. And then last year, Inc. named it one of 8 podcasts for entrepreneurs to listen to in 2018. And I had to do the show right to get to that level of recognition, because otherwise they'd be like, see, I told you so. So I, having them not be on board and, you know, telling me not to do the show meant that I had to do it better.
Yeah, completely. And, you know, for me, I think there's different approaches that you can take. For yours, you want to be that rebel sometimes and push the boundaries of what other people expect. There's a great book about it called The Dream Giver that talks about a guy who his entire community, it's an allegory, said, hey, you're just ordinary. Just live ordinary. It's okay. And he said, no, I think I'm called to something different. And there's one or two people that said, yeah, go for it. And so, you know, it's, I agree with you. It's understanding yourself. It's understanding your community that's supporting you. And then being able to navigate when the wisdom's right and when the wisdom's wrong and really applying it to yourself. That's a hard thing to do, because it means you have to be certain about what you know and what you believe, even when others tell you, hey, this isn't right.
Well, and part of my message, and you know, I've printed shirts now that say it, that I give away when I speak, and some people have contacted me to buy them, that say, try new things. And I was actually at a comedy club in the audience, and the comedian, who was kind of a famous guy, saw the shirt and he goes, what does that say? And I said it, and he went on this big tirade about how you have to try new things in life. It was a kind of a positive little piece. And then he turned to me and he's like, yeah, but come on, how old are you? Like 50? What have you done lately? What have you tried? And he was, you know, going for the joke. And of course, the answer is, I started doing stand-up 5 months ago, and I've done 26 open mic nights. And the comedian who was kind of going in for the audience dig on me for wearing a shirt that said, try new things. And I'd be like, I don't know. I'm like, well, I started doing stand-up at age 51. And he was like, oh, well, that's kind of righteous. And he moved on to somebody else. But I do believe people, when I wear the shirt in the airport or obviously in that comedy club, people see it and they're always drawn to it, because I think instinctually we have to be that little bit of a rebel. We have to go try something new. And yet so many of us don't do it. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because of fear and failure. Sometimes it's a fear of failure. Sometimes it's a pattern of failure. And sometimes it's simply, you know, that the dream and idea or the concept that you want to do, that new thing, is so big that it just overwhelms you with the bigness of it. And that's why I'm a big fan of what I call micro experiments, which is, what are small things you can do in that new step? So like, if you want to become a rock climber, it might not be best to go out to like Half Dome in Yosemite and try to climb it. Maybe a rock climbing club and going into a man-made wall and working there where it's safe and it's controlled. So that's a micro experiment where you can say, do I like this at this level? Okay, now what's the next level? Okay, and what's the next level? And so I think often doing new things gets scary because the fear overwhelms us and we can't see a clear path for the small steps to get there. And by the way, I have to say, one of the biggest regrets I had from New Media Summit was not making it to your stand-up. We were trying to get there, but we were at a restaurant that just took way too long.
Well, it's so funny. The whole reason I did it that night was everybody said they wanted to come. And I was like, I'd been sick all week and the conference was long. I'd been on the road for 2 weeks speaking at conferences before that event. And a couple people were like, no, we heard you're doing this. Would you find an open mic night on Thursday? And I'm like, okay. And then nobody came.
Yeah, I was on my way there. I was with a bunch of people and they said, oh, we're going to go grab a bite. We have plenty of time. I'm like, I didn't know. So I felt horrible. That was one of the things. That's the only regret I have from New Media Summit was not seeing that. So you know what that means? That means I need to go on another road trip down to Austin to see you do stand up or come up to New York and we'll hit some of the comedy clubs together.
We'll do that. That's awesome. So one of the things that I talk about in my work is I call it the paradox of potential, because people have so much potential and then they don't make it. There is a gap for so many of us, so many entrepreneurs and wannapreneurs, between their potential and the results they get. When you look at the people who move farther across that gap, who really kick ass, why do you think they get there? I mean, we talked about what's holding people back, but what's getting people there?
I think there's a couple things. I think the first thing is that they have less of an adversity against risk. So they know how to weigh the risk and know if it's worth taking that risk, but they also have less fear about taking the risk, whether that's experience, whether that's stupidity. They are willing to take the risk where others wouldn't. I think the other thing is that they are innately aware of the environment of what's going on, whether it's being the first on a specific trend or specific movement, they're able to see what others can't see and make a movement into that space and have ownership there to really make the impact. So they're always looking, they're being aware, they're hyper tuned into the conversations that they're having, to the situations that they're in, and they move quickly when they know it's the right move.
So I'm not going to let you go yet, Michael. We got a lot more to talk about, but first I have to thank the other sponsor of this episode. So this episode is brought to you by Podfly Productions. Podfly takes the time and the headache out of creating your own podcast. They set you up with the right equipment, training, and guidance to ensure that you sound amazing. Hey, Podfly does all the heavy lifting and that pesky technical work so that you can focus on creating great content, growing your audience, and interviewing really cool people like Michael Woodward. Hey, if you want to start a podcast, and I know some of you do, jump over to podfly.net/cool things and check out the offer that they have for the listeners of this show. So, Michael, I call this show Cool Things Entrepreneurs Do.
Right.
What is the coolest thing you're doing in business right now?
There's two things. The first thing is something we're launching this week as we record here. It is we are now Squarespace authorized trainers. And so we've built 400 websites for our clients. We've consulted with hundreds of other people through different organizations we've been a part of on how to do and build websites. So one of the things we're doing is we're launching a new program where in one day we will take a small business owner through a workshop, actually multiple small business owners. We'll take them through that workshop, and by the end of the day, they will have a launchable, marketable website for their small business that they can manage and do on their own, and that they've actually built through that process on their own with us guiding them through them.
Nice.
That's the first thing. The second thing is something that has been something we've talked a little bit about, but not much. It's Idea Camps, which is kind of like the same thing as what we're doing with Squarespace, but it's much broader. So over the course of 1, 3, or 5 days, we will have a conference, summit, mastermind, hybrid, where people are coming in and we're walking them through the process of not only learning about entrepreneurship, innovation, startup strategy, but then what we're doing is throughout the entire weekend, or throughout the entire week, depending on which package they choose, they'll come in with a group of like-minded entrepreneurs, dreamers, idea makers, makers, whatever that looks like. And they'll come in and at the end of the event, they will have a strategy based on meeting with incredible speakers, one-on-one peer groups, small groups, meeting with us in consulting. And at the end of the event, they will have a strategy for turning that idea and dream into reality. So it will give them a roadmap so they can leave and say, this is not as scary as it could have been. I can make these steps.
So that's kind of cool. How do people find out about that?
Well, that's something we're still working on for 2019. So the best thing to do is just swing on over to jumblethink.com, sign up for our little newsletter there, or shoot me an email, mike@jumblethink.com. And let's start the conversation, keep you in the loop. And when we go live in 2019, you'll be the first to know and be a part of it.
So, Michael, tell me about your podcast, the JumbleThink podcast. What is that all about? How do people find that? I know that the people who listen to this show love to listen to other podcasts, and I have no problem with that. I don't hoard my audience.
Yeah, so find us on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. We're most likely there. JumbleThink.com/podcast. And the whole concept is we're a podcast about taking the noise out of ideas and dreams and sharing how others have done it and a strategy so that you can do it too.
And I don't know when it's going to air, but I understand there's going to be an interview recorded tomorrow where you interview some guy who had a dream of being a speaker and a podcaster, and now he does that. Oh, wait, yeah, that's me.
You would actually be coming up on November 5th.
Nice, nice. Well, yours will be out well before that. People will have already heard this before they jump over and listen to my episode on your show.
Yeah.
So, I love to ask the people who come on the show who it is in the world of entrepreneurship, sort of the entrepreneurosphere. Who is it that you see where you think, wow, they're doing something cool? Because I think entrepreneurs are observers. So I'd love to see who you admire.
I admire a lot of different people. The person that I most resonate and don't resonate at the same time, it's kind of strange because there's a lot of things I hear this guy say and I'm just like, dude, that's stupid. And there's a lot of things that are great, but James Altucher, I love some of the challenges he's giving to entrepreneurs about how you can think and be creative and really work that idea machine, your brain, and process through those ideas. So I love James Altucher. He's probably my favorite right now in that space.
And then the last thing that I ask everybody who comes on the show, love to hear the answers to this, is what do you do to give back to the greater good? Because I think as entrepreneurs, we've got to do more than make money. We somehow have to leave a mark. What is it that you do?
Yeah. So I'm at a community level, very involved with our church. And so there's a lot that we do there through giving back to the community at the church and in the city. But in an entrepreneurial space, I love just sitting down with millennials or younger entrepreneurs or people who want to be entrepreneurs and grabbing lunch and just saying, hey, how can I help you on your journey? Not expecting to charge them anything for it or anything like that. Just coming in and saying, let me help you with anything I can help you with or connect you with anyone I know that can help you.
So before I let you go, what's the last little tidbit, nugget, piece of advice, aha, that you would share with an audience of people who tune in to listen to a show called Cool Things Entrepreneurs Do? What's the burning thing you would tell them?
So many people have great ideas and dreams, but a lot of them live mediocre lives. They never choose to go past it. If you want to be extraordinary, if you want to do cool things, you have to do them. And that requires risk. That requires a step of faith into the unknown. But what I would say is you don't have to go sell the farm before you get there. Just take a step and start doing one thing that gets you closer every day to that dream, that idea, and start making it where you're doing cool things entrepreneurs do.
I mean, you're so right. There are so many people who sit and think and hope and wish, and they don't ever take any action. And when I talk to people, and I've interviewed now well over 350 entrepreneurs, but I've probably talked to thousands in my lifetime, both at conferences and on the phone and, you know, through different just social interactions. And so many of them tell me, oh my God, I failed so many times. I went bankrupt. I lost the house. I did this. And now they're like millionaires. And, you know, it's, so what'd you do? I just went out and did something else. That one failed. I did something else. I went out. That one failed. I did something else. It does seem that there seems to be a trend of the people who make it that they go out and do. And if they fail, doesn't stop them.
Yeah, so good. I know from my own journey, I've had more failures than successes in a lot of the decisions I make, but the failures guide me to the successes. So I'm always failing forward. I'm making small steps. I'm continuing to grow. And then when those successes happen, they're so much bigger and so much better because I know the story that it took to get there.
Awesome. Well, Michael, thank you so much for being here. If somebody wants to find you, where do they go? How do they find JumbleThink? How do they find Michael Woodward?
Yeah, jumblethink.com, easiest way to find us. You can find out about everything we're doing, the podcast. And beyond that, if you just want to get in touch with me, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, ML Woodward at all those places, or simply drop me an email, mike@jumblethink.com. It goes right to me. I don't have a handler. I don't have someone filtering it.
What?
Love to start the conversation.
What? I have like 9 layers of people between me and the little people. That's not true. I have no people. I'm just a solopreneur. So, well, awesome. Again, thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you so much to everybody who tuned in and listened. I say it every time. If it wasn't for the audience, we wouldn't have a show. So if you like the show, go tell other people. The number one reason people tell me that they are a listener of this podcast is a friend told them to tune in. So be a friend and tell someone else about the show. If you do me a favor, go leave a review at iTunes or wherever you listen and just say, wow, this show sucks less than other podcasts or whatever it is that you want to say. We're going to be back in a couple of days with an interview with somebody just as cool as Michael. But I'm going to leave you with a little challenge. In the meantime, go out and try new things and have a great day doing it.
Thank you for being part of the Cool Things Entrepreneurs Do podcast. Without your participation and listening to these conversations, there is no show. Connect with Tom at tomsinger.com and follow him on Twitter at Tom Singer. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.